Today is the Feast of the Ascension of our Divine Savior, and the epistle to be read for the Mass today is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles, whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they going forth preached everywhere, the Lord working with all, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? These words are taken from the epistle for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, since the dawn of Christianity, Catholic faith has been mercilessly attacked by countless persecutions and heresies. In fact, in the early centuries of her existence, you could say that the Catholic Church was, in a certain sense, imprisoned. And she was imprisoned by the persecutions of the Roman emperors. Catholics at that time were not free to openly practice their faith. Rather, they had to practice it in secret. There were, as you may recall, a total of 10 general persecutions against the church. And in the course of these 10 persecutions, which ranged from the year 64 until 313, according to certain Catholic historians, 11.4 million Christians were put to death for the faith. Now, about the year 180, during the persecution of the emperor Marcus Aurelius, a young man named Symphorian was arrested. He was the son of noble and devout Christian parents, and he himself was remarkable for his love of God and for his practice of virtue. He had been studying at the renowned university in Autun, a city which is located in what we know today as France. But one day during the school year, Symphorian happened to come upon a pagan procession in the streets of Autun. Carried in a chariot on this particular procession was a statue, and it was a statue of the pagan goddess Cybele. Now, Cybele was referred to as the mother of the gods. She had a very special place among the gods, and so the streets were thronged with pagan people who all came out to pay homage and worship to this pagan idol. During the great pomp and celebration that rang out through the streets, someone in the crowd noticed that Symphorian was not honoring the statue. He was thus seized by the mob for his so-called disrespect, and he was brought before the governor of Autun, a man by the name of Heraclius. Heraclius asked the 20-year-old Symphorian why he refused to honor the image of the mother of the gods. "Because I am a Christian," Symphorian boldly declared. "I am a Christian. I worship the true God who is in heaven, not the statues of demons. And if someone were to give me a hammer," he said, "I would smash your idol to pieces." Unfazed by these words, the governor then ordered the edict of Marcus Aurelius to be read, the decree in which he commanded that all the citizens worship the pagan gods. After the decree was read, Symphorian was asked by the governor, "What do you have to say about this? Can you answer for yourself, disobeying this decree of the emperor?" Symphorian did not answer the question, but he did remain unmoved in his position, and he continued to express his utter disgust for the pagan gods. Heraclius then ordered that he be beaten with clubs and afterwards imprisoned. And then 2 days later, he was again brought before the governor. This time, knowing that threats and torture would not faze Symphorian, Heraclius attempted to bribe him to offer sacrifice to the pagan goddess. And this he did by promising Symphorian great wealth, as well as a high position in the government, if he would offer sacrifice. But not even these empty promises could weaken the young man's resolve. "I do not fear your torments," Symphorian said, "neither do I esteem your honors. Our God has in heaven greater and higher honors for those who are faithful to him, as well as the most terrible punishments for those who disobey him. Therefore," concluded Symphorian, "therefore it is better for me to suffer now at your hands, and so to come to my eternal King in heaven, than to give my soul to Satan by obeying you." Heraclius became infuriated with these words, and he declared Symphorian guilty of treason against the gods and against the state. He then sentenced Symphorian to death by the sword, a sentence which was to be carried out immediately. Now, as Symphorian was being led out of the city to the place of execution, his heartbroken mother followed behind him. She, like the Blessed Virgin Mary before her, followed her son as he made his way to his own Calvary. As they approached the walls of the city, she hastened out of the crowd and went up by some stairs to the top of the city wall. This was her opportunity to speak to her son for the last time on this earth. And thus, no sooner had Symphorian passed out of the city gates, his mother cried out from the top of the wall, my son Symphorian," she said, "remember the living God and be of good courage." Hearing his mother's voice, Symphorian stopped, and he turned towards her. "Look up to heaven, my dearest boy," she then said. "Look up to heaven. Think of God. Think of God who reigns there, and fear not, for you go to a death which leads to eternal life." With renewed courage, Symphorian glanced for the last time at his mother. He then raised his eyes to heaven, and turning, he continued on his way to the place of execution. Saint Symphorian was beheaded for the faith on August 22nd. It is his feast day, and it is a feast that he shares with the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Today, my dear friends, we celebrate one of the many glorious feasts in the Church. And that feast, of course, is the feast of our Divine Savior's ascension into heaven. The Church has kept the Feast of the Ascension since the time of the Apostles. In fact, St. Augustine, the great doctor of the Church, who lived in the late 4th, early 5th century, he said that the Feast of the Ascension is of such antiquity that it was universally observed in the Church long before even his time. That's how ancient this feast is. The Ascension, as one author put it, is the crown. It is the crowning point of our Lord's work of the redemption. Our Savior was conceived by the Holy Ghost of the most pure and blessed Virgin Mary at Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem in a cold, dark cave. He lived a life of prayer and solitude for 30 years at Nazareth. And then he spent the last 3 years of his life preaching, working miracles, and establishing his church on this earth. Finally, having taken our sins upon himself, he paid the price for them at Jerusalem with his passion and death. He was falsely accused. He was scourged. He was spit upon. He was crowned with thorns. He carried the cross to Calvary, and he hung upon it for 3 long hours, enduring the most unspeakable pains of body and soul. He then bowed his head and he died. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead as he said he would, and thus overcame his enemies and death itself. And then 40 days afterwards, he ascended into heaven. And today we celebrate this triumphal entry into the gates of the heavenly kingdom, where, as we proclaim in the Apostles' Creed, he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And there, he has not forgotten us. He has not put us out of his mind. He has prepared a place for each and every one of us. If you recall in his discourse at the Last Supper, our Divine Savior said to the apostles and to us, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I shall go and prepare a place for you," he said, "I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be." Today's feast, then, is a feast of joyful hope. It is, as a certain priest writes, a sweet foretaste of heaven. For by going before us, by preparing a place for those he loves and for those who love him, our Divine Savior has given us the right to follow him there someday. But my dear friends, if we are to one day follow Christ to heaven, if we are to one day occupy that place he has prepared for us, we must, as the martyr Symphorian's mother exhorted him, we must look up to heaven. We must keep our eyes fixed on Christ, as the apostles kept their eyes fixed on him, as he gloriously ascended into heaven. We must look up to heaven in times of trial, sorrow, temptation, the sufferings of our daily life. And we must look up to heaven, we must keep our eyes fixed on our Lord by valuing the things of God more than the things of this world. In other words, we must be detached. We must be detached from the worldly occupations and the worldly preoccupations, the pleasures, the pastimes, the news, the entertainment, the material things of this world. We must be detached from these things. That is, we must see these things for what they really are, passing and transitory. And thus, we must not allow ourselves to become engrossed in them. We must instead be attached to the things of heaven, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the sacraments, our God-given faith, Catholic morality. We must be attached to these things. We must make these things important to us, and we must make them important to our children. In other words, we must have our priorities straight. Attentive and devout attendance at Mass must come before other events. The frequent reception of the sacraments must come before other worldly engagements. Prayer must come before movies, television, sports. The duties of our state in life, these must come before entertainment and news. The rosary must come before the smartphone and the tablet and other worldly things. If we are faithful in this, my dear friends, if we strive to keep our priorities straight throughout life, if we put the things of God over the things of this world, then we have our eyes fixed on Christ. Then we, like the apostles and the heroic Saint Symphorian, then we are looking up to heaven. And we, like them, will, with God's grace and our persevering efforts, we will overcome the snares of the devil and the lures of the world, which are virtually everywhere. And we will obtain the glorious place that awaits us in heaven, that place which our divine Savior went to prepare for us this day, the day he ascended into heaven. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.